Let me share a story, if I will. I don't know what heaven looks like, and believe it or not, the Bible is surprisingly sparse on details. But there's a mythology that there are gates and pearls and golden streets, and St. Peter sits at a booth sort of like this on a stool with a big book and decides who gets in and out. That's not in the Bible, but let's go along with it. Let's pretend a Presbyterian elder shows up at the pearly gates to get into heaven. And St. Peter says, "Now, what have you done to earn your salvation?" And she says, "Well, I was a deacon and an elder." And Peter sort of looks at her and she says, "Well, I taught middle school Sunday school. They even sent me to Presbytery one time." And Peter sort of keeps looking and flipping pages and looking, and she's getting nervous. And Peter looks down, and she sort of looks at her feet, and almost under her breath, she kind of mumbled, but she said it loud enough for Peter to hear. She said, "Well, for the love of God." And Peter says, "You're right. Welcome home, sister. We're all here for the love of God, the grace of God, who first loved us, made it possible for us to be in relationship with Him." That's an important theological tenet, the idea that God first loved us and makes it possible through faith for us to love God. Some people say that the point of religion is man's search for God. That may be true. If that's the case, Christianity is not a religion. Because in Christianity, certainly the way we Reformed Presbyterians understand it, is Christianity is God's seeking humanity and bringing us to Him. There are even churches, other churches, perhaps not in your community, but certainly in Orlando, that are all about you got to do the right thing or say the right thing or believe the right thing or have exactly the right something or other, wear the right thing or go to church on the right day in order to get into heaven. And we Presbyterians have never believed that. We Presbyterians have always believed it's Jesus who did the heavy lifting in our salvation. It's Jesus who died on the cross and God who raised Him on Easter Sunday morning, and the Holy Spirit who makes us community and sanctifies us, and this triune God who loves you and me so very much reaches down across that chasm between humanity and God and brings us to Him. It's God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit who does the hard work of our salvation. And I'm so glad that God does, because I'm not sure that I could ever be good enough or say the right things or do the right things or wear the right clothes or go to church on the right day in order to be saved. But Jesus did it for us, because Jesus loves us. God loves you and me. And that's the story of the whole Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is the story of the love of God. God who created the world and pronounced it good. God who punished God's people when God set them in the garden and said, "Just don't touch that tree of the knowledge of good and evil." And of course they did. And they realized they were naked and they were ashamed, and God went striding through the garden in the cool of the day and looking for His people, and they were hiding. So God confronted them and planned to punish them. But if you go back and read Genesis 3, it's one of the remarkable stories in the Bible, because before God sent His people out of the garden, God stitched clothing for them out of animal skin before sending them out into the cold, cruel world. I just love that image of God stitching animal skins together and making clothes for the first people because, like a parent who was going to follow through on his punishment, God loved them, didn't want them to go. They didn't know how to make clothes. They didn't know how to sew or garden or do any of the things they were going to need to do before God sent them out into that cruel world. The Bible says he sewed for them. Women's work, if you will, that God did for Adam and Eve. I just love that. Because the story of the Bible is a story of love. God calling Abraham, him and his family, to go to a new land that God promised them. This promise to Isaac and Jacob and Jacob's children, Joseph and all the rest. And when they found themselves enslaved in Egypt and cried out in prayer, God went striding into Egypt, into the wealthiest kingdom known to man, the wealthiest kingdom in the world. And God went not to Pharaoh's palace, not to the architect of the pyramids or the Sphinx, but God went to the slave quarters and said to God's people, I've heard your prayer. And he said, Moses, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. God cares for the underdog, for the slaves, for the poor. And this didn't change when God brought his people out with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, and led them through the desert and gave them law and a land. Y'all know that law, don't you? The Ten Commandments that begins, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of slavery, out of the house of bondage. You will have no other gods before me. And it continues with laws about graven images and parental honoring and Sabbath worship, not only for God's people, but for their slaves as well. Because the God who cared about slaves in Egypt didn't change when God's people became landowners and became prosperous. God still cared for the little guy. And it's there in our Ten Commandments that God's people are to rest and their children are to rest and their slaves are to rest on God's Sabbath day. And again in our Bible, God surprises us. When God's people were in need of leadership, God raised up judges. Some unlikely people like Gideon and Deborah and Samson. And God anointed kings, even a youngest son from a backwater town, a little fella named David, from a little sheep farming town nobody ever heard of. You ever heard of Bethlehem? What good could come out of Bethlehem? But of course, that's the place 1,000 years after David, in a stable, God's Messiah was born, and the poorest of the people, the hired hands of the shepherd who was on night duty in the flocks by night in the fields, they came and worshiped the baby Jesus. Kings came from afar with gold and frankincense and myrrh. It seemed like the whole world was there worshiping this little baby who taught us so much. You remember some of the things that Jesus told us and taught us, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus taught us so much more, a new commandment of loving one another. One time he asked a teacher of the law, the lawyer asked him the greatest commandment. And what did Jesus say? But to love God with heart and soul and mind and strength and love your neighbor as yourself. Almost like that vertical love of God and that horizontal love of people, almost like a cross. Imagine that. Somebody asked, well, who is my neighbor? And Jesus told the most remarkable story that a foreigner, one of the other people from across in another land, they didn't even like to say the word Samaritan. They kind of spat it out. If they'd had the technology, they'd have built a wall to keep the Samaritans out. And in God's story, that was the one that acted like a neighbor, who took the wounded man, bandaged him, and put him on his beast of burden, paid for his medical care. Not the preacher, not the rabbi or the deacon that walked by the wounded man on the other side. Who is my, you know, I've been thinking about this love my neighbor thing. We got a new neighbor. Next door, we had had three sets of renters next door. We live in a little bungalow in downtown Orlando. And they said, oh gosh, the lady that owns this house is terrible. And she's raised the rent on us and we're moving out. And three sets of people that had lived there all moved out because the landlord was so hard. The next thing we knew, the woman said, I'm the owner of the house and I'm moving in. I've had tenants here. And we thought, uh-oh. Some neighbors are hard to love. Would you believe she complained because the trees on our side of the driveway dropped leaves on her driveway? And she says, I wish you'd cut those down. They keep dropping leaves on my driveway. My wife said, that's nice. There are some neighbors that are hard to love. There are some people that are hard to love. But we're able to do that, I think, because God loved us first. Because God reaches out and cares for us. God empowers us with His love. When I was growing up, I had a difficult childhood. My parents divorced. My father had custody. My grandmother was my rock, and I knew that she loved me, and I could do anything. I had a lot of trouble in school, but she loved me. I had some trouble in, can I admit that I was kicked out of Boy Scouts? Doesn't matter why, but she still loved me. Again and again, my grandmother loved me, and it was okay. And I went on to sort of straighten myself out in high school and then in college. But because she loved me and taught me that God loved me, and I came to know, absolutely know in my heart, that Jesus loves me, I could do anything that I wanted to. And that nothing would separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. You heard what St. Paul said. Nothing's going to separate us. Not persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword. We go through difficult times in life. I was reading John Calvin's commentary on this text. I wanted to see what the Reformers said, and it's really interesting. The text that John Calvin went to in the Old Testament. To say, yes, of course, we face persecution and nakedness and peril and sword and distress. Look what the psalm says. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. We do walk through difficult times. We go in difficult places. We grieve. People we love die. People we love divorce. People we love move away. We never, ever see them again. But thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We go through all sorts of difficult things in life. Even Christians walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and it's painful. But we're not alone. Brother Jesus walks beside us, and when we can't stumble on, he carries us because he loves us. And I'm so grateful for that. For that story of the Bible from Genesis through Revelation, that God loves you and me. We sing about that sometimes, don't we? Do y'all know that song that Jesus loves me and you? Jesus loves you, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Yeah. I believe that. That Jesus loves you and me. Amen. Amen. Let's sing about the love of God.